I just realized I did the wrong intro, but welcome back, everybody, to the next episode of Building the Board, brought to you by Bears on Tap. Today, man, we are excited to bring this episode to you. This week and next week both, we are going to be doing war room simulations. So myself and Ron, we're scouts. We brought our friend Juice here on to be the GM. So first of all, I'm going to explain kind of how this is going to go. And then before we start the draft, I'm going to hand the reins over to Juice, and he is in charge. He's our boss at that point. And so we can't really question everything. We can pound the table for guys. You know, we can answer his questions, but we got to be careful about how snippy we're going to get about who he's taking, because we got jobs on the line.
I'm 100% getting fired.
So the first thing, gentlemen, that we need to do is set our draft strategy here. So, Juice, how do you feel about what the Bears need to do in this draft? Where do you think they need to target guys? Trade down strategy? Like, what are we thinking?
Well, guys, at least for the Bears side of it, we look, we don't have a lot of picks. This is kind of, so we have to make sure if we're going to take a player, I think we've kind of all decided we've got a good idea what we're doing at one. This kind of comes into nine. We got to see how this board breaks out. And then react, you know, actively given on what happens in the first nine or eight picks here. But to start here, what we need to do is figure out that we get one right. And we did a lot of back work on one. But I need both of your guys' opinion on what we should do here. And obviously, Caleb is the main go. But do we look at trades for this? Do we trade out of this? Do we truly believe that this is the guy? Because we don't want to be in this spot again. So I'm going to throw it back to the scouts here. I want a little information. Did we do all the back work and this is the right move, drafting this guy at one? Or do we need to look to trade back and get some more assets to build for the future? What do you guys think?
I'm pounding the table. Caleb. I'll put my job on the line. It's Caleb. I'm fired anyways if he's gone, but that's the guy.
Yeah, I have to second that. And I think one of our other fellow scouts put out an incredible comparison. Everybody's, who is Caleb Williams? Is he the next Patrick Mahomes? Is he the next, you know, Tom Brady? No, he's the guy that's haunted the Bears for the last decade plus. He's the next Aaron Rodgers. And didn't every Bears fan want Aaron Rodgers on their staff or on their roster? I know I did. So I'm right there with Q. I'm also pounding the table. There's reports out there already, Juice, that this guy wants to be a Chicago Bear. So we're pounding the table for you, Mr. GM, to select him number one overall.
Background work, all right. Medicals, we're good to go. Because I see we're in this.
Run. I mean, if we're the Bears, we've run extensive background checks. We've gotten the medicals. We're the only team who has the medicals, which is actually kind of nice because every team doesn't know where he's hurting. But we got it all. I mean, this thing is already, from what it's speaking from the fan side, at least, this is tied up. Caleb put out a promotion yesterday for some online currency where he said, this is your number one pick. Like, he knows he's coming here. We know we're taking him. It's a done deal.
Should we wait 13 seconds to make all of our Bears fandom sweat? Because I think that would just be a funny joke on my part.
Hey, yeah. GM, you can make that decision. Yeah, if you want to, man, we can do it.
I just
want to
add a little bit of, you know, just drama to the thing here. We're going to wait a solid 12 seconds and then sprint, 12 minutes and then sprint to the board. But number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, we will be taking quarterback USC, Caleb Williams.
How about nine?
Yeah.
And wait. I can show you the board that the scouts have put together for you. Here's our board. Zoom in on this a little for you. This is what we're looking at as from this. Your scouts have told you, these are the best players for the Chicago Bears in order.
What do you got? What position do you guys want to attack here? I mean, I think I'm good on any side of the ball offensively. So I think that looking at this draft, I don't really think that there's an elite defensive guy at nine. So if we're going to go defense, then you get similar value trading back possibility at nine. But if there's an elite talent that you guys think at nine, we need to have, if it's a tackle, a wide receiver, a tight end, I need you guys to speak up and give me some direction. What am I seeing here on our board that you guys are pounding the table for? I need two pound the table guys at nine here. We'll see how this thing breaks out. Do we want to trade up? Do we believe in a guy that much that we should maybe make a move up the board? Because we do have some assets in the future here. I need some feedback, boys.
I say if any of the top three receivers are there, we take them at nine. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at five, we're working the phones. If Malik Nabers is there at five, we're working the phones. We need to know what it costs. And we can make that decision when in that moment of how much is worthwhile. But we need to know how much it costs to get either of those two players, because I think those are franchise-changing wide receivers. Romo Dunze, I'm not moving up for. But if he's there, or I'm not moving up that high for. If he's on the board at seven or eight, I think we need to be proactive, because someone's going to be trying to jump us if he's there at eight. Someone's going to go up and try to get him from us, because he is the last of that tier of wide receiver. And then there's a drop off to more unknowns. So yeah. I think Rome is on the board at seven. We're working the phones again.
I tend to agree with Q here. I think the receiving position, if we're going to stand pat at number nine and take a guy, it's at receiver. You know, there's really good offensive tackle prospects in this draft. Obviously, Joel headlining that class. You could make the argument that we could upgrade at left tackle and you know, move on from a guy like Braxton Jones as our starter. But the best way to complement our new QB of the future here, Mr. General Manager Juice, is giving him weapons and doing exactly what this franchise didn't do with the likes of Jay Cutler years ago. I agree. I think the top three receivers being in play, I'm also in favor of working the phones, assuming guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers are slipping past that fourth, fifth spot. But that being said, I will pound the table for the potential trade back, because we got a lot of holes to fill. Juice, and I know you can relate to that from our Cubs on Tap show as well. There's a lot of holes to fill. And in this Bears roster, that number nine pick is going to be a hot commodity. I really do believe that. Even if the top eight plays out in a way that people aren't expecting, I think teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars are worth a call. Our friend in the industry, Mr. Patrick Bodway, made an interesting proposal about a trade maybe with Buffalo, a team desperate for some receiving help. Maybe they're not necessarily going up to number nine to take one of the top three, unless we can absolutely fleece them out of a deal. But maybe they're willing to reach for a guy at number nine, maybe a Xavier Worthy or somebody of that nature as well, Adonai Mitchell, for example. So I think we do need to entertain the idea of possibly trading back, especially if it might be a little too much of a cost to move up. But I agree with fellow scout Q here. I think the top three receiver being in play, it'd be a heck of a receiver room for Caleb Williams next year with DJ Moore, one of those top three receivers, and newly acquired Keenan Allen as well.
And then, guys, we were horrible last year in terms of sacks and pressures. Is there anybody that we see on this board that may be there at nine defensively? I got Matt Eberflus in my ear. I'm telling you, man, he's a defensive guru who's just looking for another Lamborghini to put on this side of the ball. Do we consider drafting a defensive player at nine? Do we look that direction? I think that have we thrown it into the algorithm, into that middle garbage can? Has it spit out a defensive player that we talk about here at you know, 1920 Football Drive over here?
So the way that I see it, if three receivers are gone, and we couldn't work out a trade to go get up and get them because it was they wanted, you know, market value, and we're trying to get stay a little below market on it. We're sitting there at 9. I think the first thing we do is find out what we can get for that pick. You know, if JJ McCarthy's still on the board, it gets really interesting. But if not, if we've exhausted our trade options, we don't feel like anything is going to beat one of these defensive players, I think we go either Johnny Newton, Dallas Turner, or Byron Murphy. I have no problem taking either of those three players at 9. And with Johnny, there's injury risk. We don't know it, so we need to treat it as if we don't know it. And that's your call. I'll sell you on why I think he's better than Byron Murphy, but ultimately it's your call on whether you want to take that injury risk with your job.
What kind of injuries are we looking at here with this guy?
Jones fracture. He hasn't been able to do any testing because he had Jones fracture surgery. According to Mason West over at Windy City Gridiron, who is a physical therapist, a doctorate in physical therapy, that's his day job. He has said that there is a risk with 300-pound guys with a Jones fracture that they lose some explosiveness. We don't know if that's happened or not. I'm sure the Bears have a better idea than we do, but we need to treat it with some caution there.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, the three players that Q mentioned are the three that I would consider at 9 as well. I think our upgrading of the 3 tech spot would have the exact same effect as an upgrade with a pass rusher on the opposite side of the ball. I think there's some talented players that we could plug and fill over on that other side, maybe later in the draft, if we so choose to upgrade that edge spot. I agree. I think Turner's the only edge that I'm picking over either of these potential 3 techniques as well. Certainly the injury history with Newton or the recent injury with Newton is something that we do need to consider. I think we also do need to consider the fact, though, that if defense is somewhere that we want to lean and JJ McCarthy is on the board, the Denver Broncos are knocking on the door at number 12, moving back 3 spots, gaining additional draft capital potentially, and potentially still landing one of these 3 defensive players at number 12 could be the win of all wins for us if that's the side of the ball that we want to target with that second first round pick.
Okay.
My one other thought at 9. If Joe Alt is there, I am really starting to like the idea of taking Joe Alt and sending Braxton out, seeing if we can get a late second round pick for him. Because I think at the least we can package up picks to get a late second round pick. We might have to, you know, we get a late second and something else in return. We send 122 and Braxton, whatever it might be. There's something there that I think we should be able to make work. And
Q, do you think we could potentially package one of our picks next year as well? Because we have that second round pick in 2025, thanks to Mr. Tepper and the Carolina Panthers, do we think we maybe can move on from the 3rd rounder next year and potentially package that with Jones? And maybe instead of even a late second, we can sneak our way into the middle of that second round?
I think that that's a possibility. It's about finding the right team, right?
Absolutely.
The Saints need a left tackle. The Chiefs.
And they have cap issues. So a cheap left tackle is exactly something we can provide with a guy like Braxton.
We need to target teams who are tight against the cap and need a left tackle. And there's a few who I think make a lot of sense that you could pull something off with. And at that point, you can get the best offensive tackle in the class if he's available and still get a wide receiver in the second round.
Okay. After taking all this in, guys, we need to see what happens in the first 4 here. Before we make any decisions, because I think if we do see one of those wide receivers drop, there's a good chance of trading up here. And I think that we can maybe go get a player for our new quarterback. Or if we see Joe Alt there starting to fall, maybe we move that way. Not to trade up for, but if that's going to start to fall and we can see him at 9, I think that that's a great move there to go ahead and ship out Braxton. I'd like the idea of resetting the quarterback position on the contract and a left tackle. Talking about 2 premium positions where you have to spend tons of money to make sure that they're upright and healthy too. And not to mention that left tackles go for a premium. So So we're talking about getting deals here on a pretty good player. But we need to see what happens in these front four picks after us taking Caleb Williams. I think what we need to go into this draft thinking, boys, is we've just taken our franchise quarterback. I want no excuses at the end of the day for him to succeed. I got a defensive coach who I think is a pretty good defensive mind, and I think we need to see how the board plays out, but I would lean offense here just because I want nothing left in the excuse bucket for these guys, for Caleb Williams to not succeed here. So let's see what happens in these first three, four picks.
Yeah. And then beyond that, how do you want to handle the late picks? Do you want to go more positional positional need, or do you want to go just strict best player available or see when we get there?
I think we need to see when we get there, but I'm a best player available guy. I think that on the board, we need to take a look. Obviously, it's going to make sense. We're not looking at linebackers if that's the best player available, but it's got to fit a need. I think it's got to be a combo of best player available at a need.
Okay.
I like it.
All right. Well, with all that being said, the Chicago Bears are on the clock.
Yeah, we're taking Caleb Williams. But wait 13 minutes. We'll just sit here in silence.
just wait and see if our phones ring.
We got 17 phones on here. There's 17 options on here.
Yeah, we got it's 17 worth, people. 17 different teams.
Taking a look at. But I think we're kind of setting in our ways here.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Let's just not even look. Let's not even know what we passed up on.
All right, Caleb it is. And then let's see. So we got Drake May off the board second.
This is going the way we need it to.
Marvin Harrison goes
there. Marvin is gone. Oh, okay.
You know, that's the first time I think I've seen any of these mocks go that way and not Jaden Daniels, Drake May. And it's relieving because that's what I've been thinking will happen this whole time. All right, so Neighbors is off the board.
Do we believe in anybody late at the wide receiver position equally or close to Roma Dudze? That's my question. Do we think we can still get some value without needing to trade up and getting Roma Dudze? I think we're good sitting, right? Don't you think?
Yeah. So I mean, we could target a guy in the later first round, like A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConkey. Neither of them are Roma Dudze. They're not as safe a picks. There is risk with both of them. Like Rome or Ladd McConkey is much more position specific. He can't play any wide receiver spot out there. He's a little smaller, shifty as all get out, but he's not going to offer that same versatility that you will get with Rome. Not as much of a sure thing. He's had some injuries over the last year, including a back injury. A.D. Mitchell, as high of upside as anyone in this class. Great. But there's questions there because of the stats. It's a lot of red. It's a lot of red. It's a lot of concerns around that could be the offense that he played in that was really impacting his stats, but it also could be effort, and it's just hard to know between the two. But those are the two guys who I have conviction in saying that's who I would be targeting at wide receiver if in a move down type situation.
Yeah. One other guy that I think is at least worth mentioning, he's an interesting prospect, Juice, is that of Brian Thomas Jr. Kind of flies under the radar because of being the number two receiver at LSU behind Mr. Neighbors. He presents a lot of intriguing athletics, and I mean, he's a very high upside type player, another guy that potentially in a move back situation we could acquire. But again, certainly not one of these top three receivers. Rome to that next tier receiver is a pretty significant drop off.
The way I see Thomas is it's going to be he's not hitting the ground running in the NFL, I don't think. I mean, maybe with playing next to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, he can, but he has a lot to learn still, a lot to figure out. The athleticism is there, the tools are there, but he ran like three routes at LSU. So there's still a lot for him to figure out with the other two guys. I'm pretty confident that they are going to hit the ground running in the NFL.
Well, let's check in what a trade up for Roma Dunze would look like. Let's at least go that
at
route.
At five?
Well, do we assume that next to no wide receivers for the Chargers, that they're going to go that route?
I think they go with Dunze if we don't move up and take him.
There's also a chance they'd trade out of this spot. I'm not sure if that happens in the simulator, but there's a real chance that the Chargers are going to trade out of this spot. I also think them going right tackle is a real option for them at five. But I'm not sure Odunze is going to get past New York at six.
Well, let's click nine and the Carolina two to see if we're close.
That says it'll probably be accepted. Do you want
if we push out for our pick?
Yeah, I was about to say, you sure you want to do the Carolina two?
What if we tried a three, just hypothetically speaking?
That gets a lot.
Rough. That's the big drop off. Okay.
But one thing we could try to do there is do the two.
And get one of their picks this year.
Maybe get 105. How do you feel about that?
I really like the idea of having two next year, though, too. That's the other.
Of having two twos?
Of having two twos next year. Going to be. Because we're going to have to evaluate here what we do next year and what we need. And having that asset for next year may be somewhat helpful. Remember, we're going to have a rookie quarterback. And, yeah, we're expected to jump, hit the ground running here. But there's going to be some ups and downs. And maybe we're adding two extra twos here next year and a team with a lot of momentum just gaining going into next year. I think we let this slide. I think we let this keep going. I think we can get some value at the wide receiver position later.
Yep, and there goes
Ron. Dunze goes at five. And Jaden Daniels. So we just want to wait this out at this point?
I think so. We're looking at – we're not trading up for anything that's within here. We like some guys, I think, that are still on the board.
Wouldn't be surprised if that's Alt. Oh, Turner.
Turner.
There goes Alt.
Alt goes eight. Okay. So, our top players still available. Let's take a look at our board. Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy, Olu Fashanu, Brock Bowers, Jared Verse. The way I'm seeing this, we got five guys available who I'm pretty even on across the board. I mean, there's two who I like a lot more than the rest, but it's on the wrong side of the football is the way I kind of see it.
Yeah, let's look to trade down.
So, the Colts, the Rams. Wait, who's still on? Were there any quarterbacks still on the board?
No, Daniels went to the Giants.
J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy's on the board.
Okay, so let's try to – like, I know it says that the Broncos aren't interested here, but one of them or the Raiders or the Saints are going to be interested in this pick.
Let's see if we can go down to 11 or 12 here. I mean, well, 12. Let's.
Yeah, we don't want to
trade. We don't want to work in the –
Yeah, don't give it to the Vikings.
So we want to get 12 – 76
at minimum, right, GM? I mean,
yeah,
we should try for
more. Some type of future here. We're gonna need a little bit more than that.
Do you want to try to get a second rounder and say, Denver, we like you guys, but you're in an awful situation with your draft picks and you don't have what we want?
Yeah, but kick rocks.
Yeah, I do.
Check out what the Raiders are willing to offer. 44 is too rich for the Raiders.
What about the Saints? Yeah.
It says 50-50.
I like 45 a lot. I think that that gets us into a nice range, don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still get 14. We still get a premium player that we like at 14 because we got five, somewhat on five on the board that we like.
I think being in the top 50 is a really nice spot to be.
Yeah.
Does it help our odds if we throw in like a sixth or something to get this done in the future?
You know, I am a big believer in not throwing in more till you have to.
Yeah. Obviously, let's see what they say.
They took it.
All right.
Beautiful.
Moving down.
Let's see what they do here.
Is it JJ? It is JJ. How about that? Screw the Broncos and the Vikings out of JJ McCarthy.
Well, there goes Byron.
And Bowers went to the Jets. Okay. And Terrion Arnold. That's a very Raiders pick, no? I know we have him high on our big board, but that feels like a very Raiders pick.
So, at this point, we still have our number six player available with an injury concern. And we have our number 11 player available. Yeah. They're both defensive guys. If we wanted to look at offense, I mean, Olu's there. I think he's our number 11 player.
Yeah, he's up there. He's our number 9 player. Yeah. And then number JC Latham being number 12.
So with the Olu, you could still pick up extra draft capital by trading Braxton, but we don't need it that much now. We got 45.
No. Mm-hmm.
My thought, if you're looking for it, I'm taking Johnny. And I know there's the injury concern, but I look at his college tape. He didn't consistently win with his explosion. Now, maybe losing some of that explosion is going to have to change the way he wins overall. The way he wins is with his hands. He's one of the best hand-fighting defensive tackles I've seen in the last few years. And Alan, it's only a few years because that's how long I've been looking at these guys. So I could say ever, but that sounds a little hyperbolic to me. Johnny Newton's hand fighting technique is so strong. And I think getting him anywhere outside the top 10 is a steal as long as he's healthy. And at 14, I'm willing to take that risk.
May I propose just a little bit of chaos? Again, this will not be my decision at the end of the day, but at least want to entertain the idea here. I think Newton is a great prospect for us to consider here at 14. Would we dare consider further moving back? Maybe for a team that wants to come up and try to get one of their guys. Maybe somebody has fallen in love with a Cooper DeJean here in the draft process, perhaps. One of these other guys, maybe one of these offensive tackles that are still on the board, whether it be Olu Fashanu or a guy like JC Latham.
I think we should look. We should look at the offers. We should see. But I also think, too, we're in a spot where we can take a player that is going to help our defensive line, a part that we struggled with last year. Really don't have a lot of guys that project towards the future of being – you know, that inside guy who can get pressure. So I think we should look, but I'm leaning towards the interior defensive lineman here.
Yeah, realistically looking at this board, there are three players that I see on a different tier than everyone else available, and that's Jared Verse, Johnny Newton, and Olu Fashanu. So realistically, you're only talking about going back three spots, and with the idea of trading Braxton not being as enticing anymore, I'm not even sure I'm that interested in Olu.
Yeah, that's fair. I was going to say, I mean, if we're sitting in a situation where we can get a guy we consider on our big board, a blue chip prospect, for much less than what we deem his value, it's certainly hard to pass that up.
Yeah, moving back to 19 just seems far. Moving a couple picks down, we're not going to net much. I think I'd rather have the player.
Yeah, I think if like Indy or Seattle was interested, you entertain it, but they're not interested, so we're not going to go fishing for a, you know, underpay for the pick.
Okay. Let's take the defensive tackle. Let's take Johnny Newton.
All right.
A pick that Q loves.
Happy man. So let's see how this goes. So Olu got to 16. So okay. We wouldn't have gotten him. Latu even went. So if we went to 19, we wouldn't have gotten him. Fautanu, Mims. So at that point,
there's Latham.
Still could have gotten Latham, but he's right tackle. Like at 19, you're probably looking at the center, like a Graham Barton or a JPJ, I think, is really or an AD Mitchell at wide receiver.
Jared Verse falling all the way to 24.
Oh, wait, I didn't even catch that Verse fell that far. So we could have gotten Verse at 19.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Especially with Chad Robinson going
that early. It's a good value pick for the Bills there at 28 getting AD Mitchell. Oh, especially after losing Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. I mean, hell, they lost both of their top receivers this year.
So at 45, are we talking receiver? Is that what we're looking at?
I think so. I think that's kind of where we're looking.
Can I, while this is going, can I propose another piece of chaos as McConkey falls off the board? Would we potentially?
You know, you're a little chaos scout over here. We're
I know. I know.
Should I pause this? Is it the type of chaos that we need to pause it for?
It could be. At least just to consider the question, because now we're seeing some of these receivers come off the board. Q, I want to ask your opinion here, because again, we've done the homework on these guys. Would you consider Caleb's boy, who they've been liking each other's stuff on socials, would you take a flyer on the other Texas receiver, Xavier Worthy, if at 45, if he's still there, and add that deep threat to that room with the experienced receivers of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen?
I don't love it. I'm going to be honest.
We would be getting him for above value if we're going by our top 100 board. I believe we have him at 31.
Yeah. I think we need Steve in the room to be pounding the table for him, because I'm not in the business of taking 170 pound receivers, but
understood.
That's just my take. I mean, if I'm being frank, his tape is good. He's a good route runner. I'm not sure he can get free releases off the line of scrimmage, so you need to scheme him up for him. With Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, you can do that.
Yeah.
But Keenan Allen also excels when he gets free releases. So, like, that's where that gets a little tougher for me. I'd rather have a big body X that I can pair with those two, because DJ Moore can be an X, but he's not an X. You know,
yeah.
Keenan Allen, he can play the X a little, but he's not an X receiver. He's not the big go up and get a guy. He's not the guy who can beat man coverage up in his face over and over and over. And that's where he's not going to bully ball. Like, that's where in an X receiver, I want a bully. And so, Xavier Worthy is pretty much the opposite of that. And I'm just
agreed.
He's realistically on the board for the Bears pretty high.
Yeah.
He's just not on my board very high.
So if we are talking receivers of bully ball here, Q, who's a guy that you would potentially like more? Would you rather maybe take a risk on a guy like Javon Baker in the third round? Or are we going Keon Coleman potentially as a guy here at 45? Because Franklin's gone off the board, as is McConkey. So that's something that we need to keep an eye on here.
Based on our board, Javon Baker is in the third round risk. Javon Baker is a top 50 pick.
Right.
We got him at 37 on our board.
He's a good ball player.
Yeah. As far as guys who are still on our board, so Xavier Worthy still there. Brian Thomas. Did Brian Thomas go? Did we miss that?
Yes. He was the first receiver of that second tier off the board. Okay. Yeah, he went to Green Bay.
So Brian Thomas is gone.
McConkey's gone. Mitchell's gone.
So we got Xavier Worthy. We got Ricky Pearsall, I don't mind, but
I think
he's too similar. He's too similar to DJ Moore in the way that he plays. And not that I think he is DJ Moore, but their style has some similarities. So Javon Baker and Keon Coleman, these are the guys who I'm really targeting here.
And they're both bully ball receivers as well.
Yeah. Because I'm really not that high in Xavier Legette. I know he's 50 on our board, but I think that's more out of need than out of we'd love his film. That's a Velus Jones pick right there. Oof. Like, he's the last guy and we need it, so we're taking it kind of thing. Because even after that, you get Jalen McMillan. That's a slot guy. Jalen Polk is the next guy who I'm really interested in.
What about Burton as well? Isn't Jermaine Burton pretty high on our board?
He is.
47.
But there's character concerns there. I mean, he'd be a top 30 player on our board if it wasn't for the character concerns.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if we pushed him low enough. I think we just put an asterisk next to his name as far as, like, we know there's character concerns there. There's concerns about him being a off the field issue at times. Let me pull up his report here and we can actually walk through him. So with Jermaine Burton, the biggest concern is reportedly assaulted a female fan while exiting the field last year against Tennessee. There's video of it.
I have a problem.
He didn't like wind up and hit the girl, but fans are charging on the field and he just turns around and like pushes her head. And it's just like, why? What's the, like, yeah. Why would you do that? And that's a real red flag to me that I'm probably out on Jermaine Burton.
Yeah, very unnecessary. I agree.
So, all right. The way I'm seeing it, we got Javon Baker. That's how you pronounce it. Javon Baker. And Keon Coleman. Those are the two guys who we are looking at 45. We got five more picks to go till we're up. So we just need to take it slow here, take some deep breaths and see what's happening. Juice, is that the way to go? I don't want to take over the room here.
Is there a guy we need to move up to get? That's the question. Within five picks.
My mind is, go ahead, Ron.
No, I was just going to say, I think looking at the current board, I don't think Washington needs a receiver. They have a pretty good receiver room as things stand already. Green Bay has already addressed the receiver need by taking Thomas at the end of the first round. The Houston Texans upgraded their receiving room with Stephon Diggs this offseason, so no need to spend significant draft capital with a top 45 pick on a receiver if you're Houston. Atlanta's in a pretty decent situation. They certainly could go receiver, but I think they have enough weapons in that offense right now where they don't need to go receiver. And I don't think the Raiders really need to go receiver either with still having the likes of Devontae Adams in the fold. So I think we could stand pat at 45 and get one of these two guys, and either the bully ball receivers and Keon Coleman or Javon Baker. But ultimately is your decision, Mr. General Manager.
Yeah, I think we take it slow here, take some deep breaths, watch if one of them goes off the board. If one does, we reconsider.
Okay, let it ride.
Let's do it.
Okay, Lassiter. So we're good there. Cornerback off the board. Chris Braswell. Kingsley Suamataya. Zach Frazier. Okay, we're good.
We're good. And the receiver was not even one that was somebody that we would recommend.
Okay.
So now,
let's go back to the board.
Lost it. I'll get there eventually, guys, I promise. There we go. Okay. So we've got them neck and neck.
Yeah.
Personally,
I think this is our time to bang the table for guys.
I'm the Keon Coleman. Like I watched him take over fourth quarter and overtime against Clemson, against one of the best secondaries in the country, just dunking on guys left and right, dunking in the end zone for the game tying touchdown to send it to overtime. I think Keon Coleman is different than most go up and get it guys that you see that everyone's scared of. The contested catch beasts. He's one of them, but he is a different animal of it. Like, there is his ability to change direction is so much different. To get his hips low in and out of his routes, in and out of his cuts, is really impressive. And just, he's a beast, man. He's just a beast. That's the, like, so I like Javon Baker. I think he's really talented and he might have some higher upside than Keon, but I know what Keon is. I think I know what Javon is. I know what Keon is. And with a receiver room that has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore already in it, I know that I can find spots to get Keon productive because he's going to be single. He's going to be one-on-one. We're throwing alley-oops up to a guy who's a dunk specialist. Like, that's your red zone threat. Him and Cole are going to eat in the red zone. Like, it's just, there's so much to like about Keon in this spot to me that it just, it makes it an easy pick for my opinion. And here's his athletic testing for your reference.
Yeah, it really
jumps off the board.
Still very strong Raz score. I am a big Javon Baker fan. Truly. I like the player a lot, but in my mind, admittedly throughout this process, obviously again, this board is our cumulative board amongst all scouts. I very much have seen Keon Coleman as a player over Baker for a long part of it. In my humble opinion, thinking that Keon was going to be here was kind of an uncertainty. Wasn't totally sure if he was going to make it this far. The fact that he has made it, Q puts it best. I mean, this guy took over games as the very clear number one threat to a very good Clemson secondary. And for lack of a better term, was daddy to those DBs. I mean, he was truly the dunk specialist, as Q has already mentioned. So, again, didn't think he was going to be here at this point and thought it might be a situation to go for a Javon Baker, who, again, very similar player and has that go up and get it ability and has considered himself widely, with speaking with former NFL receiver Steve Smith Sr., as a guy that's just going to get the ball and come down with it. Keon Coleman is right there and just, again, I think a sneaky athlete that a lot of people overlook because it's just sometimes on tape it doesn't look like he's open, but he still finds a way to get open.
Also, guys, I think it's pretty clear. I think it's pretty clear what we do here. We look at a punter. What can we do on the special teams? Because special teams are special, and they're the fourth phase.
I mean, it is never too early to go get Torrey Taylor. Like, you want to talk about a punter, Torrey Taylor is your guy.
Yeah, he doesn't even have stats on here.
Do we really want to wait until pick 223 for that chance? I mean, honestly, he's probably going in the fourth round. But
do you see? He's most drafted by us. We got to get a guy.
Bears fans love their Hawkeyes. Come on now.
We do. He's close to home. I think we're going to get a little home cooking for this guy. No, let's take the wide receiver. Let's take Keon Coleman.
Keon, CeeDee Lamb's cousin. All right, so now we are sitting back till pick 75. Are we targeting center there? Or do you said you wanted to do BPA, so we're just going to see what's on the board, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to see. I don't think that there's anybody that we're, screaming up the board position of need. Obviously, we would love to have a center fall to one of those spots.
So looking at our board, I mean – we're not too worried about offensive tackle at that spot. If one of those guys falls to us, great. Realistically, this is probably the range of players that we're looking at. I mean, I'd truthfully be somewhat comfortable with the idea of a trade down if there's enough of these guys there, which I think there might be, like a Zach Zenner, Cooper Beebe, a Ben Sinnott.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of guys in this range that I really like personally. The Blake Fisher, the Hunter Norzad, that fills the center.
Juice, do you want an H-back that can do everything in the offense?
I told you at the beginning. We need playmakers, but we also need to protect our asset.
I got a guy. Q and I both got a guy. We're big on the Senate train in these parts.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's see. Absolutely. Let's see what happens here.
Brandon Dorless.
So, I mean, we're really targeting center and tight end here. Sounds like that's what we're considering. So let's see here. So we got Cedric Van Pran. We got Bo Limmer. We got Cooper Beebe still on the board, Zach Zenner, Hunter Norzad. I mean, I see, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Quite a few centers.
I see 6 interior offensive linemen I'd be comfortable taking here. On top of, Ben Sands can be way down the board. Seventh in a tight end who I'd be comfortable taking here. So we can move down up to seven picks is kind of the way that I'm seeing that.
Let's try to get another crack at it then. Let's try to trade down here. If we got some names that we like.
We got the Raiders trying to move up two picks. That's the one team that's interested in this. So they're targeting someone specific, but.
Could we get the 112, do you think, out of them?
No. Being at 148.
Do we like people late? That's the other question we have to ask here.
To be transparent,
there's some guys who say there's a fall off in this draft. Do we need late picks?
So that's where I fall into some stuff where, like, in this class, I think there is a pretty clear top 120 players, maybe, and it's a pretty big fall off. But in this mock, I don't think Kyrie Jackson's one of those players. I don't think, let's see, Patrick Paul is one of those players. I don't think Kieran Amegadaji is one of those players. That's where it's like it gets weird, because I'm not sold that those guys are going to be going in the top 100. So in the real draft, no, I don't want 148. But in this mock, I do, because guys like Ben Sinnott are going around 130, 140 in this draft. I don't think they're getting out of the third round in real life.
Let's do it, because we're two picks down here. It's an extra pick. I think it gives us another shot. And really, like you said, we got some names on the board that we like.
All right.
Let's do it.
Just free pick for moving down two spots. See who they wanted so bad. The Raiders. Junior Colson. They wanted a linebacker so bad.
Sure did.
All right. So, among the guys still on our board, we got Ben Sinnott's probably our top guy here.
Yeah.
Ben Sinnott, but also, let's see where the centers are going, though, because that has to be an important consideration here.
Absolutely.
Van Pran's going around 90. Bo Limmer's going around 107. Norzad's going all the way down around 200. So we can wait till 122 and snag Norzad. I feel like, say, or Bordellini, like, I feel good about there, but I wouldn't wait till after 122 just to try to keep it somewhat realistic in this.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Juice, what do you want to know? I keep trying to take this over. What do you want to know?
Yeah, no, I just want to know, do we need it? Playmaking tight end again? Like, are we confident in that room? You know, or do we need to protect an asset here? Because I think that's what this comes down to. We've taken Caleb Williams. Do we feel comfortable bringing in some competition at the center position now and not having to worry about it? Or are you that high on the tight end, both of you, that we need to take the tight end?
Do you guys hear that knocking? That's Shane Waldron trying to kick the door down, saying, I need more tight ends. You promised me more tight ends. Ben Sinnott is that dude. I want more tight ends.
Can I play devil's advocate again really quick here as well, GM?
Please.
We haven't addressed the edge position. Do we know what is available at this current slot for a potential running mate with our big to play DN, Montez Sweat?
Austin Booker, we could take Austin Booker here. I see that. I mean, so Austin Booker, Xavier Thomas, Javon Solomon, and where is he? The kid out of Ole Miss, Cedric Johnson. Those are the guys who I would be interested in here, because they offer real upside as athletes that I'm not sure the rest of this class does. Once you get out of the first round, edge rusher's tough. It's really tough because you need you need to go after raw upside athletes at that point. So those are the four guys who I think could make some sense. Austin Booker's probably the most pro-ready of them.
I keep getting thrown into the tight end, though. That sounds fun. This is what's so hard. I have to curb my fun to what we really kind of need.
So my read on it really is I got two tight ends here, maybe three. I'm not a big Theo Johnson guy, but the upside is real. He's an athlete. And even Tip Ryman, I could, like, you're talking about your tight end three. As much as I love Ben Sinnott, and as much as I want to make my new offensive coordinator happy, I think Ron made a great point. You need to make the Flues a little happy here too. Even though you got him as three tech, you got the Flues as three tech, but he still wants an edge rusher because it's never enough.
And we've seen the good teams around the league consistently build up and beef up the depth of their defensive line room at all four spots or all three spots. So this could be that opportunity to do that. And if we come out of this draft in the top 80 picks with guys that fill two of those positions with the depth that we've already established last year and players like Zach Pickens and as well as Jervon Dexter Sr., I think we're sitting really pretty entering the season with our big play, again, our big money addition and Montez Sweat already in the fold as well.
And we like a tight, or we like to like a center at 122.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And then okay. I think if we still want the tight end at 148,
he's probably there.
I'm good with Tip Ryman. Yeah. If I'm being honest, I mean, that's not what Shane Waldron wants to hear, but that's what I'm telling you.
No, but you know what? We went out and we got Everett for Waldron too. We got also Keon Coleman. He's got things to play with. Let's get Montez a running mate. Let's take the left end or the end edge.
So Austin Booker, I think, is the clear guy here. Yeah. He's on a tier above the rest. He is not as raw as the rest. The rest are just raw athletes. Javon Solomon might have a case, but I'm saying Austin Booker.
I like it.
All right. So at 45, we got Keon. At 70, was that 77?
77.
Austin Booker. This is a really nice draft, boys. This is coming in nice.
It's all because of you guys. Gotta give a shout out. I'll get up there and I'll make the speech, but it's the little guys. It's the guys who are watching.
It's all our fault when they fail too. You'll be up there telling George, get me some real scouts.
I'll be out there with you, I'm sure.
All right, so at this spot, we said we're looking at center. So Hunter Norzad is probably our guy here. He's got to get there. He's been moving up boards, but based on what the PFF simulator had, he should be there.
He should be there.
And it is, PFF simulator. You know, we're in the era of Hunter Norzad no matter what. So it's what we're doing, guys. I mean, this is me bagging the table. This is the most passionate I could be about a guy. 122, you tell me I can get Hunter Norzad no matter what.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, this looks like a beauty, too, I'll tell you.
Now we just got to hope he gets there.
I mean, I can tell you a little bit about the guy. So he went to Cornell out of high school, played left tackle at Cornell, actually graduated from Cornell with his engineering degree. His favorite and only hobby, according to him, is Legos. And
I love Legos.
He was a runner-up for the academic Heisman at Cornell.
That's crazy.
Transfers to Penn State for his final 2 years after graduating and gets moved to offensive guard, does pretty well there. Then right before this past season started, Penn State center goes down, and Hunter Norzad's there saying, "Hey, coach, I can play center. I got you." So he was still learning the position a lot of this year, but he was having to figure it out on the fly. Now, I am shocked that Bo Limmer's still here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
And these are two prospects that are really close to me. But Bo Limmer actually has, as much as I'm Hunter Norzad, no matter what, Bo Limmer's a safer pick. Because he is more of a center. He does not have some of the issues that Norzad's still figuring out. And he's just younger. Norzad will be 25 during his rookie year. Limmer's going to be 23, I think.
I think we got to go center. So, Ron, same run?
I'm dumbfounded that Limmer is still here. He usually
goes in this between like 100 and 120. He rarely gets to 122.
Yeah, like this feels like a high upside pick to get Limmer this late in the draft.
Got to take him then.
All yeah, I changed really, my Twitter header.
The soliloquy for Hunter Norzad, Bo Limmer to fall at 120.
I know, it's killing me. It's killing me. All right, Bo Limmer. I love Bo Limmer too. That's the tough part, but man, I love Hunter Norzad more. And it's just like a part of me says take Hunter Norzad even though Limmer's there, but I know that Limmer is probably the safer pick.
Are we offering up the potential of taking Hunter Norzad at 148 here, Q?
Go double center? Why not, man?
Hey, if Norzad's naturally a guard by trade.
They're both guys have played guard, but Norzad is more capable of playing guard, in my opinion.
And guard is, I think, just as big of a question mark with the health concerns of our current players as any position. So I don't think it would totally be out of the question for us to bang the table potentially for a guy like Hunter Norzad still at 148.
Yeah, really love special teams late, though, boys. So we need a punter.
You're saying we need Troy Taylor? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, get me fired. Oh. I'm ready to go.
I mean, at 148, we could consider a trade down. I feel like if we're good with Tip Ryman, we're good with Hunter Norzad, we're good with a few other guys, we could look at a trade down.
If we're good with a punter.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's look at a trade down.
All right. It's checking. We got one team interested. One singular team.
Giants at 166.
What are we getting for next year? Can we get a 5 next year? No. Maybe a 6.
We get a 6 next year.
I don't really like it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, already. If I gave him a 6 back for 183, like next year 6.
I don't really mind that.
Yeah, I don't care about losing the 6 next year. I mean, I don't really care about 6th or 7th round picks that much, but
I like that trade.
Let's do it.
All right.
Bang.
Wheeling and dealing here, boys.
Bang! Well, they wanted the Tyler Davis.
I don't blame them. I'd want him there too if I didn't already take Johnny Newton.
Fair. Yeah, good value there for Mr. Davis. Makai Wingo going this late in the draft.
And Theo Johnson falling all the way to 152. I mean, that's about where I think he belongs, but like it's just surprising because he's been such a popular pick.
Yeah.
Christian Boyd is a guy I think the Bears are interested in.
Good old Northern Iowa guy?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
That does sound about right.
Doesn't it?
It's fitting. Isaiah Williams. A couple of U of I guys going in the draft. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see it.
Bo Bray, safety I like a lot. So let's see who's still here for us.
Zach Zinter is there. A couple of trade possibilities.
Tip Ryman would be the tight end I'd be interested in here. And then an interior. Norzad's there, as is Bortolini. I mean, we'd love Zach Zinner too. So, I mean, if we're going interior, I don't think
I think we're good.
With the trade for Ryan Bates, I just don't think interior line is as big of an interest as, you know, the tight end, or we could look at backup offensive tackle, like Eric's saying in the comments. I mean, Brandon Coleman, I'd go for Brandon Coleman is a top 100 player on our board.
Yeah.
And we got, if we got a
and top we got 183. Guy,
if we got a top 100 guy here, regardless of the position, we gotta follow our board, boys. I think
that's Brandon Coleman's a steal here. Like that's a highway robbery.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too it's a position of need in some way. Let's pull the trigger on that.
Let's do it.
All right. And then we could still target Tip with the next pick, or we could go with your punter.
We got any playmakers on the board here still? Any fun weapons maybe we could use? Okay. Meaning guys we'll that see. Maybe it's a running back we like, a special
Dylan Lobby was a guy that I think Q and I both would have banged the table a little bit for that just went off the board to the Eagles.
Yeah, even like running back, I have a hard time banging the table for any guys. You got four of them right now.
Yeah, and this draft is just not the best for running back, in fairness. Luke McCaffrey would have been a nice player this late in the draft.
I think there might be some interesting wide receivers there.
Yeah. We'll have to see what's available here.
Anthony Gold. Tell me, Bob. I will bang the table here for Anthony Gold. So, he might be one of the fastest players in this class. If we were interested in Xavier Worthy at all, we should absolutely be interested in Anthony Gold. He's Robbie Gold's brother. No, I'm just kidding. So, 4.39 40, 1.5 10-yard split, one of the best 10-yard splits in the class. Extremely explosive, 130 broad, 40-inch vertical. I mean, he's a gadgety guy. Like he's not going to be out there playing on the outside, but he is really just can beat guys deep. But as I'm saying this, I am starting to realize we have Tyler Scott, and he might be redundant to Tyler Scott.
Yeah,
like he might be a little bit better than Tyler Scott, but he might not be too. And you run a risk of ending up with two undersized speedsters who you might need to rely on if two receivers go down. So I'm actually walking back this pounding the table. I am rescinding. I will no longer be pounding the table for that.
I was going to say, I would rescind any receiver here. I think at this point in the draft, it doesn't make sense to take any of these guys.
It looks like it's okay. Wiped over.
Can we look at somebody on the defensive line, maybe a long shot? We're going to win up front, boys. That's how football is. So
it's a big man sport.
If there is a name, Jaden
Crumedy could be interesting. He played a very unique role at Mississippi State. He's 300 pounds, but he was used as a stand-up rusher. Like half his snaps, like in the middle of the line of scrimmage, a stand-up rush. He was used all over the line of scrimmage, basically, in a real, like, interesting way. I don't know if I love him here. I think there's a lot. He was used in such a gadgety way. I'm not sure how good he is in a more traditional role. But if we had, like, a seventh-round pick, I might like him. But right here, I think there's still talent on the board that I'm not that interested in him. Taking a look at edge,
special, like a safety kind of special team or two.
I've got the guy, Ketan Oladapo. This guy has been underrated this whole process. He's a little older. That's a part of why he's underrated, but man, he's just a football player. So, Oladapo, big, strong, built-up frame. He's a pretty good athlete. Like, not great. Like, probably average athlete, realistically. He can play a split safety, so he can play in cover two. He's not the best pairing with Jaquan Brisker because neither one of them can be your single high safety in cover three. But in the split safeties in cover two, he could be really good. I think he's going to be a really good special teamer too. Now, he hasn't played a lot of special teams, but I do think he is going to be a really good special teamer just based on his motor, his want to. This guy loves football. He lives, eats, and breathes it. He's about football. You can tell it through the tape. He just is all about the game. So that's a guy who I would be really interested in this spot if we're looking for a special teamer.
I think on top of it too, Q, while you're mentioning that, we don't need him to come in and be that single high guy in cover three because we have Kevin Byard, who we just brought in earlier this offseason. So I think if you're looking for a depth safety, a guy that can come in the event that a hard-hitting Jaquan Brisker falls to injury, which we've seen a little bit over the last couple of years where he might miss a game or two here and there, he could come in, play that box safety role, kind of be that split guy in cover two as well. And again, high motor guys is just kind of what the city of Chicago loves and does. And it seems like he fits that billing and has the want where he could be a very ace special teamer for this team that you compare with guys like Travis Homer and some of the other special teams aces that that the Bears already have on our current roster.
You know what I'm coming back to though? I gotta make a pitch to you, Juice.
Please do.
Hunter Norzad.
Hunter Norzad.
I wish. new kickoff rules.
Oh,
new kickoff rules. We need big, fast offensive linemen. As in freaky tight ends. That's Tip Ryman. Tip Ryman is going to be an asset on the kickoff team because of the way he can seal off blocks, big body. He will just get in the way, and he's fast. He runs a 4.7 at like 260, I want to say, or 270.
Yeah,
he is freaky as far as his athleticism goes. 6'5", 271, runs a 4.64. There's developmental in him, but this guy has already played a fair amount of special teams. He's going to give you his all as a blocker out there on the kick unit, and he's going to make your offensive coordinator happy.
He can contribute offensively.
He can block. Like he's as none of these tight ends can block. No tight ends in college can block, but he has the traits that relate to good blocking in the NFL. He is not afraid of contact. He seeks out contact, and he has the frame. He has the power. We'll teach him the rest.
And that player is going to thrive with the new kickoff rules. It, just being a willing blocker for your speedsters like Valus Jones, who are going to be back. They're taking these kickoffs.
So you're in on it, Ron?
I am. I like Tip Ryman a lot. I liked his film a lot as well.
Let's do it.
Just the tip. All right. That's the draft class, boys.
Now we're trading back up to get a punter. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, we could.
Do you want to?
No, I'm good.
All right. So I think that's a good class overall. At 166, we got Brandon Coleman. And then at the whatever it was, the 186, I think it was, Tip Ryman to make our offensive coordinator happy. And a lot of the Chicago area. The fans are going to love that, Juice.
Two U of I guys in one draft class.
A U of I walk-on.
I think we won the draft, boys.
I think so, too. I just realized I can speed this thing up.
I was going to say, turn this thing onto turbo and let's get on out of here.
Quit having to kill dead space. I do really like this draft. Like,
yeah.
Not just because we did it, but like because this might be one of my favorite mocks that I've been a part of so far.
Top 79% of Bears drafts according to PFF as well. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
I think we addressed needs. I think we got good players. And I think that we kept a lot of our assets too for probably some holes we're going to need next year. I mean, we could have gotten nuts real early and traded up and gotten, you know, like a Roma Dunze, or, you know, traded back up and got a maybe a guy we liked better, you know, more in the 30s or the 20s, and it you know, used up some assets. But we got to remember too that next year there's going to be holes we got to fill too, and sometimes having those assets are helpful.
Yeah. No, I think in a year you feel real good about this class. Because you got your interior, you got your D-line help at edge and interior. Two guys who I actually do feel fairly good about. Like in Austin Booker at 77, you get a guy who you feel at all good about on the edge. That's a good thing. That's pretty rare. And then getting the wide receiver in Keon Coleman beefs up that room even more for Caleb. I mean, center, you got Bo Limmer sitting for a year. Coming next year, going to be the guy at center. Brandon Coleman, you got insurance, a swing tackle who's should be better than Larry Borum. And you got your guy for kickoffs and Tip Ryman.
Bear down. I'm going to go meet the media.
What are they going to hate the most about this draft? What's going to get criticized here?
I think a lot of people are warming up to the idea of taking a player at 9, regardless of the name. But, I mean, you can make the argument that you still got a top 9 guy by moving it.
On our board, top,
right.
Top 7 guy, I think top 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's number 6 on our board. And I mean, that makes a lot of assumptions about his health, but if that is checking out, and there's a very real chance his health is checking out. It's just the fact that it's an unknown. Yeah. But then that's a steal at 13.
What do you think, Ron? What do you think is the – what do you think Bears Twitter is going to hate about this board? Right?
For some reason, I think there's going to be a lot of people that don't like the Keon Coleman pick. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be banging the table that we should have moved maybe back into the first round somehow, some way. Even with moving back and acquiring that 45th pick, maybe using that pick and a pick next year to move back into the late first round, maybe to get an A.D. Mitchell, maybe to get a Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr., maybe to get another one of those guys. I really like where we got Keon Coleman for not just the player, but also the value. So I think that's something that could go criticized. But I'll be honest, though, man. I look at this draft class and I say we got a lot of really good things. And with all the movement that occurred here, we filled a lot of holes and we got a lot of quality players at the slots that we were able to take them. So I think this worked out probably better than even I think any of us could have expected, truly. And again, I'll reinforce what Q said about Johnny Newton. If you get that guy at 14 in this draft class, that's a guy when healthy is a Chris Jones level defensive tackle on tape. I mean, he stands out. The first time I got a taste of real Johnny Newton film, not just watching U of I games live throughout the course of the last few seasons, was watching the tailback Braylon Allen at Wisconsin. And I think 4 plays in a row, Allen was tackled behind the line of scrimmage because of Johnny Newton. So this guy is just all over the board and it's just a beast on the front line. And we all know that Coach Eberflus' defense runs through that 3 technique. If we got the 3 technique right with a guy like Johnny Newton at the 14th pick where we acquired additional draft capital, I don't know, gentlemen. I think we're all getting raises and contract extensions when it's all said and done.
Yeah, this feels like it has potential to be similar to that that legendary New Orleans Saints draft class. Like that's how good I feel about this one.
Love it. Absolutely right. Love it.
All right, Mr. GM, you want to take us out?
I think head scout Ron should take us out. He's the best at it.
Oh, I am not the head scout, but I'll go ahead and yell and scream for you guys if you want. Want to remind everybody, be sure to give Bears on Tap a follow. Be sure to tune in with all the Building the Board content as well. Q and the boys have been working their tails off. I was just fortunate to be a small part of it here as a scout on this side. Juice getting to be a part of it today as a GM as well. Q and the boys have worked extremely hard. You guys will see those guys on the next iteration of this style with the Bears War Room. So be sure to tune in for that one to catch guys like Robert and Steve and all the others that have worked and incredibly hard here.
Special guest from the Bears blog, Jeff Hughes, will be joining us.
Yes, yes. So definitely tune in for that one as well. And then again, if you like our content here at Bears on Tap and you like Chicago sports, tune into the rest of our great work over at On Tap Sportsnet. Bulls and Blackhawks are winding down their season, so be sure to tune into Bulls on Tap and Four Feathers podcast. And if you like either side of Chicago, we got you covered. Juice and I, you can find us over at Cubs on Tap, and you can also find all of our friends over at Sox on Tap as well. For those that like the South Siders as well, as Juice shows off his South Bend Cubs helmet there. And again, ontapsportsnet.com at ontapsportsnet on the socials. Like, subscribe, hit the bell button on the YouTube channel so you know when all of our great shows go live here at OnTap Sportsnet. Q, great job putting this together today, buddy. This was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, the board is built, but we might have just crushed the draft if it plays out like this for the Chicago Bears at the end of April.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys later.
Green Bay.
Bear down, baby.